Next on our agenda is item U, also action item and related. That's the Judicial Branch Administration retaining the AOC Office of Security. And presenting is Judge Jarr and Kurt Child.
And I'll hand things off to Kurt Child, who has been responsible for and following and driving this issue forward since inception.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Chief and members. This issue is really to look at now moving forward on what were the recommendations from E&P as reviewed on the SEC recommendation. So as you recall, at the August 31st meeting, E&P presented its recommendations on SEC report, which at the time adopted the new organizational structure. And included in the SEC report that was being considered were questions about the necessity of security services continuing to be performed in the Office of Security, or whether they could be absorbed in other AOC offices. And so at that time, the council directed the administrative director to return with some recommendations on an organizational plan for court security. So this, meanwhile, as you've just heard from Mr. Roddy, there was the Court Emergency Response and Security Task Force opportunity to complete their report and make some recommendations that you've just heard about for moving forward on what we would do with court security. So I think now with the action that was taken to receive the report and then have E&P look at in the future the possibility of doing the advisory committee report or advisory committee to advise on an Office of Security. That meanwhile, what we would go ahead and do is maintain the Office of Security, court security, essentially at the level that we have right now. Currently, Malcolm has working with him four security coordinators, two analysts, and an administrative secretary. They'd continue providing the existing program and services that are outlined in the committee report. If you look at page 3 and 4, you'll see the bulleted items that they're continuing to manage. Meanwhile, as we get together and have the advisory committee, we would fully envision that the advisory committee would then look at the functions of, should it be established, would look at the functions of the Office of Security, make recommendations that could come back to the council. And then from that point, the administrative director could look at the staffing needs of the office in light of those functions. So part of this will, on the timeline, looking sort of doing this maybe in the 6 months. So the timeline, of course, will be dependent upon E&P action on establishing the advisory committee and then getting back the recommendations on the functions of the office. And I think we were, and again, I think Justice Miller, sort of depending on the timing that works out, but if indeed council moves forward with the advisory committee, we could be looking at getting that in place, getting recommendations, and looking probably toward the July meeting to bring back the structure, the functions, and the staffing.
Thank you, Kurt. Judge Branlin and then Judge O'Malley.
First, the disclosure. As you know, I was a member of the task force, and I've got about 35-plus years directly involved in court security as a deputy sheriff, as the chair of the Judges Security Committee of the L.A. Superior Court, as a former chair of the Court Security Education Committee for CEJR. I'm an instructor at CEJR. I teach at the Judicial College on subjects dealing with court security, personal security, and privacy protection. And I also served as the vice chair of the California Public Safety Officials Home Protection Act and went through the the task force and actually wrote the task force report to the legislature. So I have a lot of specialized training in personal and court security. And I have to tell you that the Office of Court Security that we have serves a very vital public safety service. It's a specialized service. It's something that cannot be performed by others. And our task force spent about 5 years studying the types of law enforcement and court security services that are available around the country. And let me tell you that I think that we're blessed here in our Office of Court Security. I think that they are a leader in the nation. There are a number of referrals that I've seen from the National Center to our Office of Security asking for advice for other sister states that want their assistance and their advice on security-related issues. The emergency planning is critical. The coup planning is critical. Threat assessment and mitigation is critical for safety. And I want to frame this appropriately. This is not an SEC versus AOC issue. This is not a big court versus little court issue. This is not an appellate court versus a trial court issue. This is a public safety issue. This is key to access to justice. If people are afraid to come to our courthouses because they're afraid of violence, they won't come. We won't be presiding over those matters. The services that our Office of Court Security provides that I've mentioned are critical for our core mission. I also want to point out that they are the leader in the nation dealing with privacy protection for judicial officers in the Judicial Internet Opt-Out Program. And I want to recognize an individual who's here in the Judicial Council chambers and a member of the Judicial Council, because that person in 2005 is the one who championed our cause. Then Assembly Member Noreen Evans, who drafted that legislation that gave us the tools in order to help scrub home address and telephone information from internet data vendors that was available online. What I'd like to say, though, is that, you know, I know that we're dealing with underfunded, you know, programs throughout the judicial branch. When we have a problem with reduction in services and education, the cost to the system and the impact is we have a greater reversal rate. We have more complaints to the Commission on Judicial Performance. When we have a reduction in services to administration or facilities, we have delayed justice and restrictions on access to justice. When we have a reduction in services to court security, we have injuries. We have the potential for loss of life. And I just want to say, I hope that I never see in my lifetime another videotape of a judge on a gurney being taken to an ambulance after being slashed in a courtroom by a felony suspect. And part of those issues dealt with design. We're talking about building courthouses and spending potentially hundreds of millions of dollars. And without the expertise of the Office of Court Security in providing advice in line of sight and in passageway issues as far as people going in and out of the court and how they should intersect, how to establish bollards or bollards, what the blast, you know, depth is, you know, when you're constructing these buildings, how to set up weapon screening and surveillance programs. They perform a vital function. And the one thing I wanted to say before I turn it over is that when you look at our task force report and you look at that email memorandum from Chief John Muffler of the United States Marshal Service on the importance of the Office of Court Security and having individuals who are trained in threat assessment and threat mitigation and security, this is not something that we can simply give over to somebody else. It's critical that we keep this in-house.
Judge O'Malley?
So, a couple of things. First, I agree with Judge Brandlin that court security is very important. It can be and has been a matter of life and death. My father-in-law, Bill O'Malley, who was a judge in family law for many years, has had shooting inside the courtroom, shooting outside the courtroom, and a shooting on the courthouse steps. So all that ended in fatalities. So that was before perimeter screening, and we've come a long way. But court security is a matter of life and death. And it's you know, something that needs to be looked at in advance and not something that is decided after the fact of loss of life. It's just sad that it came to that. But now we have an opportunity to be ahead of the game and to make sure that not only staff, judges, but the public are safe in our courthouses. So I agree, and I take it, Judge Jarr, that by Mr. Child's presentation of a separate committee, that you concur with all this realignment. When we talked about this a meeting or so ago, you know, we wanted to leave to the discretion of the incoming administrative director, you know, their feeling about whether or not this should be a separate entity of the AOC. And I take it by Mr. Child's presentation that you agree and concur with your vision of the realignment, that this, in fact, should be a separate office within the restructuring of the AOC.
Thank you, Judge O'Malley. Emphatically so. I had the good fortune of serving along with Judge Brandlin for most of the life of the Emergency Response and Security Task Force, worked with Mr. Franklin, who manages the office, and could not say more emphatically or well what Judge Brandlin has said. So that's my response to your inquiry.
Thank you. And I'm in full agreement with that and think that there's a need, and it's so vitally important that this should be something that is part of our structure of the AOC. I have one question with regard to a standing committee. And again, this is something that RUPRO and ENP is looking at every single committee. I know that it hasn't been formed yet, but what we're hoping to do in January is we're asking all committees to kind of give us, you know, what it would cost. You know, what does your committee cost? You know, the AOC, the courts, the trial court budget. And if there's a way to kind of let us know in January what, again, we're looking at, so that we, in evaluating whether or not this needs a standing committee in addition to a standalone office within the AOC, that would be very helpful for our consideration in January for our report back to the council in February.
Judge Wacob and then Judge McCabe.
Thank you, Chief. At the last executive and planning meeting, the former members of the SEC were asked to comment on this report, and obviously the report wasn't in our hands when we submitted the SEC report back in May. And our comment generally was that we thought that this report was well-reasoned, well-supported, and thoughtful. The concerns that we had when we were doing the SEC report largely grew out of the fact that at the time we examined the Office of Emergency Services, that it was a relatively small office, then composed of about 8 or 9 employees, and yet it was being asked to undertake a number of very diverse, important tasks, including personal security, physical security, and emergency planning for courthouse construction. And that's a lot to bite off for a small office. So our recommendation, if you go back and read it, was essentially that the functions of the office need to be refocused. And that, I think, is exactly what this report is bringing. It's bringing a focus to these functions. How it plays out and how the office ultimately is constituted is maybe for later determination. I don't know. But the from the 2 cents of the SEC perspective, we view the work of this committee as important and actually consistent with some of the concerns that we had in our report. So we appreciate the report.
Thank you, Judge Wacob. Judge McCabe.
Thank you, Chief. First, I would like to thank and congratulate the chair of the committee, Judge Horn, Judge Branlin, Mr. Roddy, and all the other members. The SEC members were impressed with what you had done, and this was consistent and comported with what our driving thrust and focus was, which is that there need to be a deliberate and careful analysis of the office, and I think that this report accomplishes that. Two, I think your comments, Judge Branlin, were artfully put, and at the very least. I agree. This is not an SEC versus AOC issue. It has nothing to do with that. And I am full support of what the report points out. I'm quite frankly pleasantly surprised and pleased to see the type of oversight that is recommended here. And if it's not presumptuous and maybe answering the question that a number of you have privately asked me because you're wanting to know what the SEC people are going to do, maybe it's appropriate for me at this time to move to adopt the recommendations. I think that says something as a member of the SEC moving to adopt them. Hopefully that speaks volumes about our view and how impressed we are with this report.
Thank you, Judge McCabe. Judge Ellsworth. I would second that and also make the following comment that I also agree with what both of my brethren from the SEC have indicated and appreciate very much the hard work. And also I will indicate that Judge Branlin has kept us in the loop, has kept us informed, has had discussions with us and asked us about this, and we very much appreciate it. Thank you. Commissioner Alexander.
I just have a question about the motion. The recommendations have three recommendations, and two of them include the advisory committee.
Right. Correct. One's to maintain the office. Two is to create an oversight committee. And three is to direct them to return with recommendations, if I've read that correctly, which includes EMP being involved in reviewing the costs, et cetera.
Judge, if I might clarify on the recommendations. The first recommendation is certainly continuing to maintain the Office of Court Security. The second recommendation was looking toward a advisory committee being created in the prior presentation as part of the report. And it sounds like that where we're going now with this is not yet creating that advisory committee. We would maintain the Office of Court Security. We would continue to function with the duties and work that they've been doing thus far with the staff that we have. The ENP and RUPRO will put together ultimately final recommendations on the advisory committee, and then if that is indeed created, the advisory committee would then serve to really reevaluate both the substance, the function, and advise on the structure of the office. So it seems to me that the recommendations are probably number one, and importantly, is maintaining the Office of Court Security.
That's your motion. That's my second.
So, wait, let's clarify.
I would accept that. That wasn't necessarily my intent, but I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
So the motion is to recommendation number one.
Correct. Right.
The other two to be deferred as part of a bigger picture and discussion.
I'll second.
Second, Judge Jackson and Judge Brenlin and Judge Ellsworth. Okay. Commissioner Alexander, did you have your hand up to say something?
That was my question, was clarifying the motion.
All right. Then the motion's been amply seconded, I believe.
Chief, before you call for the vote, I did want to publicly thank and acknowledge the leadership of Judge Jarre, who served as a chair of one of the two subcommittees, as well as Justice Manoukian, who was also a chair of one of our subcommittees.
Thank you, Judge Branlin.
Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor of the motion as amended to accept recommendation number one, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The following participant enters the conference.
Emily Elias.
Oh, my goodness.
The matter carries. The other two recommendations are deferred. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you all.